It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hello and welcome to the latest video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to game week 35. It's another double game week. We've decided this week to move our team selection video to the live streaming slot as we're both playing our wild cards, and there's a lot of wild cards floating around. There's a lot of people who aren't playing wild cards who are perhaps concerned about those who are playing wild cards. So I think there's a lot to discuss. So we'll record Goals Imminent after this and that will go out later today. My name is Joe, and today I'm joined by Fantasy Football Scout's deputy editor Tom Freeman to reveal our teams ahead of the weekend's matches. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Joe. Yeah, we've still got six matches to play in game week 34, but like you just said then, we're both on wild cards, starting to plan now, trying to get ideas for this wildcard bench boost 37 strategy, which we're both running with. So yeah, it'll be good to have a chat. I put together a draft quite late last night, so there's still lots of kind of tweaking to be done, but now it'll be interesting to see how it differs to yours, Joe. Yep. and maybe where I can improve it as well.
Okay, just before we go on, just a reminder, do press that like button. It does help us out, and do subscribe wherever you're listening to this. Obviously, subscribe on YouTube as well to keep up to date with our latest videos and podcasts. Welcome to those early birds joining us in the live chat. Sakan, Paul, Heather, Jamie, Jonathan, and many more. Jonathan's already come in with a question as well, so we'll try and address that towards the end. Do remind us, Jonathan, towards the end. We'll do a live Q&A like we usually do, but this will be sort of focused on Game Week 35 and beyond, and wild cards, and if you're not wild carding, and particularly those, in Jonathan's case, who are not bench boosting. So myself and Tom, our wild cards are going to be focused a lot on our bench boost, which we're going to use in 37. But if you're not bench boosting, you're going to have a slightly different wild card, I would imagine. It seems like everyone can hear us in the live chat. That is great stuff. Before we move on to our teams and reveal them, I think it's good to have a look at the fixtures. Just remind ourselves where we're at. We've got a double game week right off the bat. Game week 35 is Chelsea and Tottenham. Chelsea face Villa and Tottenham. Tottenham obviously have Chelsea, and they also have a home game against Arsenal. Meanwhile, Newcastle single game week, but home to Sheffield United. Manchester United single game week, home to Burnley. Fulham, Crystal Palace could be some goals, particularly those who kept hold of some of those Palace players if they weren't on a free hit. Wolves, Luton could have some goals in it as well. Meanwhile, Man City face Nottingham Forest. Elsewhere, game week 36 is interesting. Brentford, Fulham could have a few goals in it. But they're also looking at, say, Arsenal, for example, their home game against Bournemouth. Newcastle face Burnley. Liverpool, Tottenham could have some goals. No clean sheets, I'd imagine, but certainly goals. And game week 37, that's the big one. Chelsea, Newcastle, Tottenham, City, Manchester United and Brighton all double. And it's in that order of difficulty. Chelsea, Newcastle, Tottenham, Man City, Manchester United and Brighton. Brighton's one is quite tough. I think they're all a bit of a mixed bag. And then meanwhile, game 38, we can't forget that. Liverpool, Klopp's last home game, for Liverpool, home to Wolves as well. Luton against Fulham could be a final hurrah for Luton there. Tottenham, nice away game at Sheffield United. Man City's good home game against, currently out of form West Ham. So taking all of that in, presumably this is totally dictating what you're doing in your wildcard, Tom.
Yeah, I think the teams at the top, you're going to be stacked full of them on a wild card, aren't you? I think, you know, those additional fixtures, especially for Chelsea and Tottenham, because you've got those, the only two teams with two double game weeks. So I think tripling up on both of those is a bit of a no-brainer, although finding the right personnel is trickier. I'm also trying to not ignore, you'll see in the draft in the minute, I'm not completely ignoring those teams with just four fixtures to go. And I think that's quite important because we're looking at teams like near the top there. I get the interest in Newcastle for sure because of the fixtures in and around that double are brilliant. But with teams like Man United and Brighton, yeah, they've got that one extra fixture, but they're tricky doubles, you know, for both sides. And there's tough fixtures either side, I think, for both of them. So I'm trying not to get too tunnel vision with just double game weekers. And I think there's a good chance I'll bench boost with probably two single game week players as well. You know, even like Wolves are at the bottom of that ticker. They travel to City and Liverpool, so you're not going to play anybody there. But you look at the home game against Luton in 35, and that could be good for them. Palace at home in 37 could be okay. I'm trying not to completely write off those teams as well. But definitely the majority of the wild card will be focused on those teams near the top of the ticker.
You make a good point about not forgetting the single game week options there, and that leads on to, just before we do our teams, I've got some stats as well of the best attackers over the last six matches. I've highlighted those that aren't doubling, that probably won't be in a lot of wildcard teams. So if they're in your team and you think they're going to do well, that's good. I've sorted this by minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty. Before I come to the double game week players that are probably going to dominate our teams and certainly most wildcard drafts you see. 5th and 6th on this list is Eze. He won't be in any wildcard drafts, I can tell you that now, but he has scored 2 goals, 2 assists. He's currently on a double digit haul within game week 34, and it's a double game week, so more could be coming there. He's got 31 points over his last 6 matches. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 104 minutes, pretty much a goal involvement a game. Created 13 chances over that period, only marginally been underperforming. Crystal Palace's fixtures: Fulham away, Manchester United at home, Wolves away, Aston Villa at home. Arguably 38, Aston Villa's probably the toughest, but and from an attacking point of view. But yeah, Eze's just going to be ignored, isn't he? But he's going to probably do well.
Yeah, I think for people who have probably bought him in this week and they're not wildcarding or anything, it's fine to hold on to him because Fulham, United, Wolves, Villa, I mean, it's not a bad run of fixtures against a few poor defences in there as well. So he looked great at the weekend, didn't he? Is he in your current team?
Yes.
So you could enjoy those points.
Yes,
then.
I didn't free hit, but I'm trying to keep up with the free hitters. So I've got, I did get Eze in. I didn't do the Haaland to Mateta move because it would involve a hit. And obviously now, in hindsight, that would have been a great move. But at the time, I just, say Haaland was fine. Currently, he's not in training, but say he's fine for Brighton and scored a hat-trick, I would absolutely be annoyed. But, that's just the way it is. Free hitters can make that move.
I think the information that you had at the time, it was fine to keep Haaland. But I think we all thought that Palace would improve now Olise's back in that setup. We all thought that West Ham would be tired after playing Leverkusen. But I don't think anybody quite thought that they would rack up the amount of goals they did and the speed in which they did it as well. I mean, they absolutely blew West Ham away, didn't they? So fair play. I saw a few people on free hits who tripled up on the attack as well, who ignored Munoz and Mitchell and went with that triple attack. And been an incredible result. I think it'll be a tougher game against Newcastle though tomorrow, though, and they've got a few injuries, but I think Callum Wilson might be back on the bench for them as well, according to Howe this morning. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that could be a trickier one, but you've already got the points from them. So whatever they do tomorrow is a bonus now, isn't it?
Definitely. So. I've got Anderson in my team as well, who actually got me points. Which actually, he got me more rank. Now, he got me the same rank rise as Eze's. Because Eze's so well-owned.
He got quite a few key passes in that game. I'm sure I saw somewhere he got three or four during that match. I mean, he can be creative as a centre back with those long balls forward.
I'm always hopeful with Anderson. It's several matches now. Last 5 minutes, I listened to the commentary. Anderson misses a set piece, and Anderson heads just over the bar. But one time that's going to go in. I'm not going to have him now. But I'm hopeful against Newcastle that happens.
Why not? Yeah.
Next single game weeker that isn't going to be in many wildcard teams, could be though, is Salah. He benched last time out, has underperformed here. Expected goal involvement delta, he's been underperformed by at least two goal involvements. He's got 20 FPL points in his last six matches compared to Eze's 31. Eze is a less than a half the price there. Nevertheless, Salah does have two goals. But for 13.6, that's why he's not on my wildcard draft. I pretty much, you know, removed him pretty quickly. I didn't need his rather pointless 0.6, 0.1 price rise that happened because the way I had him, it wasn't I didn't make any gain for that, and I knew he's not going to double rise, and already he's being removed from teams here. But Salah was just something quite easy for me. Maybe game week 38 I might want him, and I might have two three transfers for that, but to be honest I'm probably happy with Diaz or Jota as just a 1 week game week 38 punt.
Yeah, potentially. I don't feel particularly easy about it. I don't really like not having Salah in my team, even though he hasn't been at his best really for a while now. But he had his rest at Fulham, didn't he? So we're expecting him to come back into the team for Everton tomorrow. West Ham is a fixture I seem to recall him doing quite well in, away at West Ham. I'm sure he's called there before. Yeah. Tottenham at home is a good fixture. Villa away is an okay fixture for an attacker. And then Wolves. But like you say, they're getting key players back now, Liverpool, and Klopp can rotate a little bit more, can't he? You know, he did it at the weekend. He played Gakpo and Jota and Diaz there, and it worked in terms of the result it did anyway. And so, he's just one of those. If you're building a bench boost team, you need to spread those funds around. And using 13.6 or whatever it is on Salah doesn't make a lot of sense, I don't think. But would it surprise me if he got a brace at West Ham? No, not at all.
No, not at all. But I mean, I'm just sort of resigned to that. You can't have them all. It's not even financially. It's just not have spaces. There's five other midfielders I'd prefer to have. The next single game week on the list is probably the same discussion as around Eze. It's Mateta. He's bottom of this list, but you know this is a list of the best. So he's got minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 118 minutes. Absolutely huge. Still, he's got 42 points. That's more than double Salah, and he's only 5.1. He's got five goals and an assist in his last six matches. Only marginally been under overperforming by around a goal involvement. He's created five chances. Here's a scenario. Haaland's not, Haaland's just out for the season, say, or he's definitely out for the double. Or Jackson picks up his 10th booking tonight against Arsenal, and therefore he's out of the double. Isak is going to be, we'll come to in a second, Isak's going to be in a lot of teams. It does sort of leave a space up front. And I'm not averse to getting a player like Mateta in or Watkins, just a good striker. Hang fixtures, hang doubles, just get bloke who's going to score goals.
I mean, you might have to start looking around those ones without a double if Haaland were to be out and Jackson, if Jackson gets that yellow card tonight. If he doesn't, he's in the clear and it's fine because the threshold resets. But I might look at Hoyland potentially. I don't really want to go there, but the fixtures are okay and he's got a double.
Yeah.
But that's where we're left. If you take Haaland and Jackson out, that's what you're left with. If you want a double game week forward, Joao Pedro, but even that feels a bit risky, I think.
No. So, I mean, that's timely. We'll go to the rest of this list now because only four others are forwards in this list. Haaland's one of them. Alvarez is the other. And obviously, if Haaland's fit, Alvarez isn't going to get the minutes. Isak's another. He's going to be a mainstay on most wildcard drafts. The other one's Werner at Tottenham. So let's start with him. He's top. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 97 minutes. He's got two goals and an assist and created seven chances. He's been underperforming by at least around two goal involvements. 6.3. I'm not going to lie. I am tempted to get him in. It's what's stopping me is I don't want to make a transfer in game week 36. I would prefer to hold a transfer in 36, use a transfer in 37 if I need it, and then go into game week 38 with two transfers. That's the ideal. I might even need two transfers in 37 on a bench boost just in case there's injuries. But I'm not going to lie, Werner does tempt me. Is he tempting you?
Probably not, Joe. I mean, he gets into very good positions. I think we've spoken about this on Goals Imminent numerous times. He gets into really good kind of shooting positions, but he's just wasteful. And you can see it from that XGI delta there. But you might get lucky and you might just land on a game where he does convert those chances, which has happened in the past at Chelsea. I think I'd be a bit worried about, and this applies to Johnson as well, who's a couple of names below there. I'd want an update on Richarlison. I don't think Richarlison's going to come straight back into the team for this double, but if you're thinking about 37 and bench boost as well, whether or not you get two starts out of these players in 37, I'm not quite so sure. But I think I would definitely prefer Brennan Johnson over Werner if I had a choice, because I think he's a better player. But you might get lucky with Werner. Who knows?
Sakan in the live chat saying after owning Darwin, Werner is just a tad too much. Indeed. And I say that as someone who's looking at getting Jackson in on my team. So he's in the Darwin slot of can't score. Next name is Foden on the list. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 100 minutes. Six goals across his six starts, a goal a start on average. FPL points 54. So these are really good stats. 13 chances created. He's creative. He can score. But I heard today that he has not been seen in training. Now, we know with Haaland there was an existing injury issue. He's asked to come off against Real Madrid. But with Foden, that's just out of the blue. But that could be that he's got media duties somewhere. It could be that he's doing some training elsewhere or community work. I don't know. But that is a potential concern. Nevertheless, I'll put him in my wild card and hope for the best, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is you get to see them play Brighton and you'll get to see that before having to make a decision on your wild card. But if he is fit, he's a brilliant pick, obviously. And now they're out of Europe as well. That schedule has been reduced so much with the lack of a semi-final, two semi-finals in there. I think they play on Thursday against Brighton. It's then Sunday against Forest, I think. And then they don't have any midweek fixtures up until the double. So, and it apply, and it's important for a player like De Bruyne as well, because suddenly you haven't got that fixture congestion and you would expect them to feature in the league going for the title. So Foden, great pick. He's not in my draft, but there's a route into getting him in game week 36. Yeah. There's a placeholder in there as well, who everybody's going to hate, but I quite like him. So there's a placeholder in there at the moment, and then that will transition into maybe Foden or Fernandes. Yeah. But let's keep an eye on that and see what happens.
If we get the news in from Pep that he isn't going to play 35, and the same for Haaland, then I've gone from, I thought this show was going to be about, oh my God, who am I going to bench? My team's so good. To, oh my God, I haven't got any team left. Who am I going to play? But if Foden is out and I do want to get Foden, I want a placeholder. So I want someone who's that price or less, hopefully less, because prices change. It's the next guy. It's Johnson from Tottenham, because he doubles in 35. I'm happy to field him in 37 when he doubles. as you were saying, it's him, irrespective of Richarlison coming back. He's the one that, even if he's off the bench, I just think he's looking really good for Spurs at the moment. He's got 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 attacking returns for 5.8 and a 2 doubles coming up. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, 103 minutes. Created 9 chances. He's been underperforming by at least by sort of 1.5 goal involvements. Johnson is serious consideration. He's sort of next on my list. So if there's an injury.
Yeah, I think he's a very good player. He's been playing on the right recently. Kulusevski just seemed to have dropped out. I know he hasn't been in form or anything like that. So he's been playing on that side. I suppose there's always a chance after they got thrashed at Newcastle that he might mix it up and bring Cooley back in. But in that scenario, it might be Johnson on the left and Werner might drop to the bench. And I think that these games, they're tougher fixtures for Spurs, aren't they? But that might suit players like Johnson because he's so good on the break, on the counter, and Son, and they might do okay out of it. So I think I'd be happy to roll the dice with Johnson. Yeah, exactly. I guess there's a bit of concern in 37 that he won't get 2 starts, but he's probably going to get a start, and then he might get minutes off the bench. Yeah, so doesn't have to be a deal breaker, that.
Yeah, like with Jota at Liverpool, I don't know if he's going to start, but I know if he gets any significant minutes, there's a high chance of return. Yeah. Johnson appeals. Next name is Palmer. Once again, he's another who's probably going to be absent tonight, as far as we know, because he's ill. That would indicate that he'll be back at the weekend, though, just in time for the double game week. He'll be my captain. It's Aston Villa away and Tottenham at home, but I would prefer it if it was something like, you know, against, I don't know, Everton and Sheffield United or something. But nevertheless, I do think he is a very strong option for the armband. I mean, he's 6.2 now. I think some people got him for 4.8, 4.9. Scored a whopping 10 goals and 3 assists. I can't even emphasise how amazing this is. 13 goal involvements in 6 matches. His minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty, every 103 minutes. Obviously, he's been overperforming by 5 goal involvements, but he's created 20 chances. He's just very good. I think that one of the questions will be who's captain. Most will go Palmer. Some might consider Son, though. But are you firmly Palmer?
I think so, because I think the fixtures are better from an attacking perspective for Chelsea. And Chelsea have actually been scoring a lot of goals recently. If you look at their results over the past month or so, they've been doing pretty well. Mm. You don't trust them at the back at all, but going forward, it's a different matter. And yeah, I think Villa away, I think Villa do concede chances due to our play style. We've conceded quite a few at Villa Park recently, which is where we'll be on Saturday night. And then Spurs, we know they're leaky at the back as well. So I would put Palmer ahead for captaincy by quite a bit, I think, this week.
Yeah, definitely. So we mentioned Eze and Salah, next names on the list. Next name is De Bruyne. 10.4, and that's key. He scored 2 goals and 2 assists, 4 attacking returns in his last 6 matches. He's only had 5 starts, so he could come on. For players like, say, Haaland, for example, if they're sort of maybe on the bench, you probably won't ever see them in the game. They either start or they just don't play at all. But De Bruyne can come on occasionally, can get subbed off early as well. 24 chances created. That's absolutely huge. And his expected goal involvement is pretty much, he's not under or overperforming. He's just how it should be. I kind of like him on my my free hit. But I have got Foden, and I think I prefer Fernandes for Manchester United, who's not on here, as a sort of another sort of higher priced midfielder.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Yeah, I quite like him because of that schedule, De Bruyne. He's not in the draft at the moment, but I can see why people are looking at him more. No midweek fixtures. So again, I don't think he'll start every league game, but I think he'll probably start most of them.
Yeah.
And he's that kind of explosive player we saw at Palace, that what he is capable of doing. Yeah. And that's the kind of player that a lot of people are looking for at this time of the season. If you look into close gaps in mini leagues, or you're looking, if you're really struggling and you want that kind of big kind of rank rise, then he's the kind of player that could go into a game and get, you know, 15 points or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, he's not in the draft at the moment. The price is a little bit tricky to put in if you go in Haaland as well, and you want Son and you want to have a strong squad of 15. But I don't dislike De Bruyne as an option at all.
No, I mean, Tottenham's game week 37 is Burnley at home in Manchester City, which I like. So a question for some within that period, whether wildcarding or not, is Son moving to De Bruyne? Son doesn't actually feature on this list, but he rarely does in terms of minutes per expected goal involvement, because he tends to score those shots that no one else can. So he doesn't need a lot of high volume of shots. I think that is a question, definitely. Son versus De Bruyne. And De Bruyne has got Fulham and Tottenham away. You know, out of Europe, it's just the FA Cup apart from the league. I think, you know, realistically, I can't see what De Bruyne would be rested for unless, it's to manage, an ongoing issue.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that would be what it is. But Son as well, you've got to remember, Burnley at home is a good fixture. City at home, Son has returned against City before. It's a home match. Yeah. And then it's Sheffield United. So I think I would definitely be happy to lose another Spurs midfielder. I think Madison's in my draft, or if I went for Johnson, happily lose them and switch them to like a Foden or something like that, or De Bruyne if you could get up to him. But I don't know if I'd be willing to sell Son, but maybe that will change in a couple of weeks. I don't know. But I think those fixtures I don't mind for Spurs attacker, Spurs attacker player called Son. Not sure if they're good enough for a double up.
Yeah. Next name is Isak. I mean, he was one of the first names on my list. I do the FPL Generals team selection show each week. I host that for him. And he got him in on a wild card. I came with 30, 31, I think he wild carded. And he's just been absolutely shooting up the ranking. He was really far behind me, about 50 points behind me. He's now like close to the gap to like 3 points. Not that we have a particular rivalry at all. But nevertheless, he has moved to within about 2 or 3 points of me. And Isak is one of those players that's done that. He's got 51 points over the last 6 matches, 7 goals and an assist, 8 attacking returns. He's only 8 million still. Marginally been overperforming by 1.72 goal involvement. So he's created 7 chances as well, hence getting the assist. Just get him in. That's just where it is, isn't it?
I don't want to be going into that Sheffield United and that Burnley fixture without Isak and the way he's playing at the moment. He's just absolutely brilliant. So confident when you're going, when he's through on goal, that he's going to finish it. Yeah. Then you've got the double. I'm tempted to get Gordon as well as Isak and really go for that Newcastle attack for these fixtures. But yeah, he's a brilliant option. And the wild card is from 30. I think Zofar was another one. And they obviously benefited from getting Isak early. And also, I think a lot of them doubled up on Chelsea's defence and they got that clean sheet against Everton as well. So they have put, I think Mark was below me a couple of weeks back and he's kind of... He shot past me now. I just hope that this wild card can maybe gain a few points back.
Definitely. Next name's Haaland. The key issue with it, he once again is one of the first names on this wild card. But the key issue is potential injury that he's got. Well, he is injured. It's unlikely he's going to play against Brighton. It's possible, but it's unlikely. He hasn't been seen in training. Last we heard, he was carrying a small injury. It didn't seem to be much. So that could also rule him out of game week 35 as well. If he's just ruled out of game week 35 away to Nottingham Forest, to be honest, that solves me a problem of who do I bench. And then for game week 36, Wolves at home, game week 37, Fulham, Tottenham, then ends the season, West Ham at home. So he's a if he was like 7 million, it'd be like, oh, you know, I could do without him and get him back in easily. But you can't mess around with a 14.2 player. You can't just think, oh, I'm just going to get him out. Oh, I'll easily get them back in, because you can't easily get them back in. So Haaland, like when I got him over Christmas and kept him forever, I've got experience of this. I'm more than happy to keep Haaland on the bench as long as he does play in 37. And I guess the only thing for me is, if he doesn't play in 37, then I remove him.
Yeah, it's quite a tricky decision, that, isn't it, Joe? Because we've seen injuries of Haaland before go on longer than we expect them to. But yeah, it would take probably two transfers. If you don't go with him on a wild card, you probably need two transfers in 37 to then move your team around and make sure that you can get him. So it's a really tricky one, though, that. I think we need an update from Pep and see how serious it is. Can he play a role at Brighton? If not, is he going to be ready for Forest or not? But I think because there's not loads of good forward options at the moment, I really want him to be fit, because if you take Haaland out and Jackson gets a booking tonight, like we said earlier, you're suddenly scrambling around for not very good options, really. No.
As I said, whatever Pep says, game week 35, I'm not interested. I'll still have Haaland and he'll sit on my bench. I'm not bothered by that. But it's game week 37. And if it's still rumbling on, then I might cut my losses. But, out of Chelsea, who'd you go for? Jackson, probably going to be in teams anyway. Newcastle, Isak, probably going to be in teams anyway. Tottenham, Werner, not going to be in any teams. No. Man City, I'll come to that in a sec. Manchester United, Haaland, but he's...
You would prefer Fernandes, wouldn't you?
I'd prefer anyone.
You'd probably prefer Garnacho.
I prefer my dog, to be honest. João Pedro at Brighton, maybe. He is on penalties, but I don't like Brighton's attack.
Watkins? So we go back to Watkins.
And the only other ones I would consider with a double is Alvarez and Man City. Because if Haaland's definitely out, then I'll just go and replace him. And then I can just move him back to Haaland in 38 if I wanted. But, I would get Watkins in. The only problem, he is home to Liverpool. Liverpool do concede, though, in game week 37. But,
it's not ideal.
It's like that process like we were talking about with Mateta. Just get the guy in who just scores goals for his team against lots of really good teams and bad teams. It doesn't matter.
Well, what are you getting from with the team? I get why you're going for Chelsea and Spurs, because they've got that double-double. But with the other teams, you're getting one extra fixture. Like for Man United, for instance, you go for Hoyland. One of those fixtures is against Arsenal and the other one is against Newcastle in the double. So are we kind of overlooking players like Watkins, who's just got one less fixture, but will play 90 minutes every single week? And the fixtures are okay for Villa. I mean, Chelsea, Brighton, Liverpool, Palace, they're not bad.
Well, if Foden's out as well as Haaland, then I do have a slight problem there. So then I might consider just going without Haaland, but I would essentially have Haaland. I would have a placeholder ready to move on in game week 37. It would be Watkins. Yeah, I wouldn't mess around. Keep it simple. Okay, there's some stats. There's the fixtures. Let's have a look at your bus team for game week 30. Have you actually pressed the button yet?
Yeah, I have. Okay. Yeah. I pressed it. I didn't do it on Saturday night. I did it on Sunday, but there's been no fluctuation with prices anyway, has there?
Now, for one of these picks, if you're drinking any tea at the moment, like I was when I saw this before it came on, put it down because you might spit it out. do you want to reveal your team? Have you got any money in the bank, by the way?
Yeah, there's 3.3 million in the bank, which is for the Gallagher upgrade in 36.
Rightio. And...
But I'll go through my team and then talk about that.
And just whereabouts are you in the rankings? We don't put ranks up on here, especially, halfway through a game week.
Yeah, I'm about 90.
Okay.
Still got a lot of doublers to come. Got Salah captain, which obviously hasn't gone to plan so far. But about 90K, something like that. So... the squad is built with the bench boost in mind in 37. So you've got, I'll say a strong 15 players, maybe somebody, people wouldn't say 14. Strong 15, but so a strongish squad. We've got The goalkeepers have been a real problem for me, and we'll have a chat about it in a minute. But I'm not keen on Petrovic. I'm not that keen on Vicario. So I've currently gone for Onana and Pickford. Now, Pickford doesn't have the double game week, but he has Sheffield United in 37 at home. And I'd be happy to bench boost with that.
Okay.
At the back. Or do you want to talk about goalkeepers now, Joe? Or well, shall I read it all out?
No, let's go there. Because let's address the Pickford in the room. Onana, no problem there. I mean, Manchester United don't think we'll keep clean sheets, but you're going to get save points, and it's just volume of fixtures.
That's the thinking.
And I think Dallow is another good option there. Onana or Dallow, I think.
I think it has to be one of those two. Yeah.
If you want to save a bit of money, Maguire could be an option. But Pickford, I would definitely go for a Petrovic and play them. I would even be tempted with a Vicario at Spurs. And I know you're tripled up already, but and remove one of the other Spurs players. But I would definitely go for a sort of a higher upside pick. I know it's Sheffield United, but I think they can score. And Everton, I actually, even though Everton have the pedigree of being in the Premier League, I actually class them alongside Burnley, Sheffield United, Nottingham Forest, all the teams that are possibly going to be relegated. And this is for good reason, because they're awful. You're going to get the occasional good performance there. Yeah, and you're going to get save points. I know Pickford's done well this week, but I just think...
I don't know. I think you would expect... I don't know. I mean, only Arsenal have kept more clean sheets than Everton this year. They know how They know how to shut teams out, which is kind of remarkable when you think about...
No, I do think they're good. But I don't think they're good. What I do is I do think there is a lack of options, but I would definitely just get a double game weeker this week. Instead, maybe.
I'd prefer a Porro. So I don't want, if Porro's fit, but again, that's another thing, Joe, isn't it? We don't know if Porro's going to be fit. He's got that flag on him now. That could cause a shuffle as well as anything happening with Jackson. But for now, I'd rather that Spurs, will they keep a clean sheet in the double? I would be very surprised. I don't even know if they'll keep a clean sheet against Burnley in the 37 one. So I'd rather that player who can offer assists and creativity on some set pieces. So I'd rather Porro. Petrovic, I kind of get it. I'm a little bit worried about Sanchez in 37, that he could be given a game. He was a pot shining. He's not, I don't think he's fit at the moment, but he's coming back apparently. And I don't know. I mean, Petrovic has been doing okay. Maybe that is the way. Maybe I will come full circle to that at the end of the week, but Chelsea and Spurs defences don't inspire me with confidence. And Pickford doesn't have a double, but they do know how to keep clean sheets, especially at home. And they could do that. They can't, you know, we saw against Forest. I know that Forest had those three penalty shouts, which I don't think any of them were Stonewall penalties personally, but they did. But apart from that, he made a good save from Wood, but they're pretty organised generally at home, Everton. And through lack of options, that's why I'm currently on Pickford.
I would go for, so if I was firmly on board with this, just get, doesn't matter whether a double or a single game week, I would get Raya in from Arsenal. Because as you said, who, you know, Everton is on a par with Arsenal for clean sheets. But I do think in game week, this week you could play Onana, no problem. You're home to Burnley. Game week 36 away to Crystal Palace. He's going to concede there. So and then Everton, it's got Luton away. Well, I think Everton are going to concede in that one. I would think. Whereas in Arsenal they got Bournemouth at home, and I think that's good. Game week 37, Manchester United away. I think Arsenal could easily get a clean sheet there.
And then I'm not going to say Arsenal won't.
They finished season with Everton. So that wouldn't mess up your structure, as we'll go to the rest of your team in a sec. But if I was on that mentality there, I would be tempted by Raya, I think.
To back the best defence in the league. I get it completely. Yeah. It's a spot at the moment which Pickford is filling, but it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
A few days to go before we decide. But yeah, I'm probably not as cold on him as you are, Joe. But let's see. Maybe I'm kind of, I already own Pickford and I got that clean sheet the weekend. Yeah. Maybe that's still too fresh in my mind.
Start thinking
about the bigger picture.
Yeah, but no, I do see the point because I'm just looking at my team. I've juggled around with goalkeepers. I think I've had about 10 in my draft so far. But anyway. Your defense.
And another consideration could be Edison and take out Walker. So that's another consideration. At the back, I'm going to stick with Gabriel, I think. I get that there's no double, but best defense in the league. I want him in 36. I want him in 30, potentially want him in 38. So he's currently in for now. I've gone for Dan Burn to save a bit of money over Cher. I like Cher too. Trippier, don't think he's going to be ready. Still not in training, according to Eddie Howe this morning. So Dan Burn. I've got Porro. I think he's the only Spurs defender I'd want.
Yeah.
We've obviously got Ud Udogie out for the season. I don't know who's going to play at left back. Will it be Ben Davies? Will it be Emerson Royale? Will they shift the system and put Van der Ven to left back? I don't know. So I'm kind of hoping that Porro is going to be fit. I've got Ait Nouré, which is, again, maybe people will be looking at it going, why? Well, I would bench boost with Ait Nouré at home against Palace. Mm-hmm. And I love that Luton fixture in 35 at home against Luton. If he's fit for that, I think that could be Hall potential there. I'll bench him in 36 and 38. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not a confirmed spot, but that's where I'm at now. And then I've gone for Kyle Walker, who's obviously back and fit now. That could realistically be it could be Diaz, it could be somebody else at City.
Ait Nouré, the same principle as Pickford, I don't have as much a problem with, because as you said, you can bench him different times. Obviously you can bench Pickford as well, but the Ait Nouré, you can bench him at the times you want to bench him, and you can play him at the times you want to play him. And with just four sets of fixtures left, that's ideal. It's Pedro Porro's interesting in my draft as well. The rumours are that he's going to be fine for this weekend, or rather they hope he is. But say he isn't, then, as you said, I'm not interested. Then Vicario, maybe I would be interested.
Yeah.
But I might just go without.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a knock-on effect to what happens with Porro, isn't it? And because I think you probably, most wildcarders will see this double and see it. Okay, the fixtures aren't great, but it's a double game week. Let's roll the dice. It's that time of the season. It's difficult to know what you would do. I don't really trust Gusto for two starts because he's obviously got this injury as well, hasn't he? Dallow, potentially, you could move to. I certainly don't want to double on that United defence, though. So that might then require another shift to the keepers. So it's a lot of moving parts, isn't there?
I've got a name for you here. So with your structure here, it's something I don't think I can do at the moment, but I could do because I've only got 0.3 in the bank in my one. You got 3 point something in the bank. You can just move Porro to Alexander-Arnold, and who's great. He's away to West Ham. And then he's got Tottenham in game week 36. Fine. Aston Villa, 37. Fine. You can bench boost Alexander-Arnold on the bench boost, no problem. And then he's got Wolves in 38. When in 38, all the wildcards are going to be desperate to get Liverpool players in. And you've already stocked up. Alexander-Arnold is a player I have not ruled out at all in having in my side.
He was in an early draft, I think, yesterday. And because I thought, you know, he's back in the team at Fulham, wasn't he? He's playing really deep, but just really creative. Scored the free kick. The only thing with that is that I'd kept that money in the bank to upgrade Gallagher. I only want Gallagher for the double if I want him at all. Okay. And that was the thinking, that I could then transition from Gallagher to Foden or Fernandes pretty easily the week after. But I do like Alexander-Arnold. He's probably the defender with the biggest upside, albeit no double. So I'm not ruling him out for sure.
No. Okay, let's go to your midfield, because you mentioned Gallagher there. He is in your midfield. I have another player in mind for him and something else to change. So, yes, you just go across your midfield and then we'll come to discuss
it. So double Spurs midfield, Son and Maddison. Maddison is not in form, as everybody knows at the moment. But I think he's more secure in that team, albeit if he comes off early. I'm a bit concerned about after what is the reaction going to be after that 4-0 loss to Newcastle, and how is Ange going to, is Kulu going to come back in? where's Richarlison at with his fitness? So for now, it's Maddison. But if Johnson looks as though his security starts are there when we get the presser later in the week, that could be a switch. But for now, it's Son and Maddison. I've gone with Palmer and Gallagher from Chelsea. And then I've got Gordon, who I really want for these newly promoted matches that he's got against Sheffield United and Burnley. Now, the thinking with Gallagher is, because people will be thinking, like, what? Why are you going for him? And I kind of get that. Obviously, it's because of the double. But I think Gallagher in these matches, which are a bit harder matches, I think we'll see him in that kind of number 10 role where he gets a bit more. I think they'll play Caicedo and I think they'll play Enzo. He played in this role against Villa in the League Cup when they did really well against us recently. And I think Gallagher might be in a better position to return points in terms of his position when he plays tougher games, because he will have a little bit more freedom to go in behind Jackson. I think it's the kind of game he could do well in. I think that we play out from the back. I think attacking midfielders can, you know, turn over the ball quite high up the pitch. I think he could do all right. Tottenham, I think he could do okay against. So it's really punty. I don't expect anybody to be looking at it thinking this, oh, I'm going to go Gallagher. No. But I might use that slot to go for him, get the double game week, and then move him to Foden.
Yeah, so, I mean, I actually don't mind Gallagher for 1 week. It's Maddison that's the issue. After Son, I would say Johnson is probably the next best. And he's 2 million or so cheaper than Maddison. So
he is.
So you could just do Maddison to Johnson here. And you can keep Gallagher. But that would give you... So if you've got 3 point something in the bank now, that would give you... Getting on for 6 million in the bank.
To do the Trent thing? Is that what you're saying?
You could do the Trent thing. Some. You could do the Trent thing and still have about 2 or 3 million left over. That's why I quite like that. But it does mean that you've got sort of two punty players, but they both got doubles. So I guess it's a case of, like, in game week 36, which would you remove? And you'd probably be tempted to move Johnson first because he's got Liverpool away in 36, whereas Gallagher's got West Ham at home.
I think that player, whoever, it'll be a bench anyway that week because it's a strong... Okay. It's like that. So I don't know. I don't know who I'd change first. Maybe Johnson, because he's got a bit more money invested in him. But then if Johnson has a good double game week, you might, and they've got another double to come, you might think I'm happy to roll with that a bit longer. Yeah. Whereas Gallagher feels very much like I would only be really wanting for this double, I think. But it gives... I do think going for Johnson over Maddison, it does give you more flexibility, doesn't it, in terms of money. It's a big price difference.
I think I've done that before towards the end of the season where I've had like 5 million or so, 6 million in the bank. And it does come in really handy because you don't, you know, if you've just got one transfer and you want to get like a real heavy hitter in, like a De Bruyne or a Salah or something, and you can really do that. You know, you don't have to do it in two moves. So I think Johnson and Gallagher, I wouldn't be totally comfortable with.
It might be too much. Yeah.
But one of them, definitely. And it's just Maddison, I just feel, is not the one.
Yeah, I get that. He isn't looking good, so it's very punty, and you're really hoping that somehow the Maddison of the first part of the season comes back. That's the midfield anyway, and then the strike force is very much the template, which is what you're going to see in the vast majority of wild cards, and that's Haaland, Ifit, Jackson, and Isak.
So Isak,
obviously, that could change.
Isak's not a discussion.
And, no, okay.
Because he's just there. Just have him in.
Yeah.
Haaland is a potential discussion depending on how injured he is. And I must admit, I might be tempted to just go for a Watkins if he's really long to blight. But I want to hold the money back. I would still want that Haaland money sitting in the bank, ready to get Haaland whenever I need it. Because going into game week 37 with a fit Haaland away to Fulham and Tottenham, that says that's a potential captain. He's certainly a player I'd want. But it's Jackson's interesting. So say he comes through tonight unscathed, that means he passes the threshold. So it doesn't matter that if he gets another yellow card, he won't get banned. Or rather for a while. However, if he does get the yellow card and we can't have him, so who would you go for then?
It's tricky. I mentioned Hoyland earlier. I might punt on him for that Burnley home fixture and then see how it goes from there. Watkins, I wouldn't rule out either, although I'm not massively keen on bench boosting with him with that Liverpool fixture. João Pedro, I mean, you're the best person to ask for that, Joe. What are your thoughts on him,
Matt? Well, in FPL terms, not great. Okay. But he is on penalties and he is very likely to get starts as opposed to earlier this season because they've got a lack of bodies. So he can play out the wing and up front and in a variety of attacking roles. I think if fit, it's going to be Welbeck, Pedro and Adingra would be the ones. One and Notte can also play an attacking role. I feel that Pedro is an okay pick, but I would bench him all weeks apart from the double.
Yeah.
So if Jackson is out, I would probably think about Pedro and just have him on a bench boost in 37, and then I've got an easy bench.
And he helps you with your benching headaches.
Exactly. But if Haaland's out as well, if Haaland's out as well, then I'd probably have to play him. Away to Bournemouth is not that bad, but it's not ideal. So I would look to see. I would look to save some money, and you can do that. So when I put my team up, I've spent a lot on goalkeepers, for example, and I've got more expensive versions of some of these players. So I've gone for Cher, you've got Burn. I could go for Burn and I could save myself $1 million right off the bat. Yeah. So I would look to put Jackson, as I said with the Haaland thing, I wouldn't mess around. I'd just get Watkins in. Just a striker you can play every week, single or not. I would just, because Jackson's an irrelevance for us if he's banned for 35. So,
Yeah. And I'm not particularly confident on Jackson, but it's just the fact you've got that double. And he has shown moments of, wouldn't say brilliance, but moments of reasonable play in the past month or so.
He's got two hat tricks, hasn't he, this season?
I think he's got 10 goals, Premier League goals, hasn't he? Yeah.
So he can, against Aston Villa, against Tottenham, Chelsea. Yeah. That could be goals. Yeah. So he could easily get braced.
That was one of the hat tricks, wasn't it, earlier in the year albeit against nine men. Yeah. But
He could easily score against West Ham, can easily score way to Nottingham Forest, Brighton. In fact, I'd be surprised if he doesn't, to be honest. So So I mean it's just next best, and I think that's the decision that people are facing.
And so that's kind of the squad at the moment. Like I say, it's Tuesday. A lot can change. I will just say, looking at that defence that I've picked, it's nice this week. You've got Onana against Burnley, you've got Aitmore against Luton, and you've got Burn against Sheffield United. So you've got the three newly promoted clubs there. In 36, you know, you've got Gabriel to come in against Bournemouth and Walker to come in against Wolves, because they'll probably be benched this week. So, you're not getting that. You're not getting necessarily the double in 37 with some of those players, but I do quite like the rotation with that. So.
Okay, I'll put my team up. So this is a bit different, which is good, because people say, wildcard drafts look the same. Well, mine one might look the same as everyone else's, but at least Tom's is different.
Let's have a look.
And so, I've got my one up here. I have actually pressed the button. I've just got them in, and I've got 0.3 in the bank here. So I've gone for the sort of more expensive options of things. So, as I mentioned, I've got Cher, but I could get Burn easily. I've got Edison, but I could go a bit cheaper, Vardiol perhaps, and so on. So my plan is still going strong here. Wildcard 35. Game week 36, the aim is to save a transfer. Game week 37, I'm bench boosting, and I'll use a transfer. I might have to use two. Like, for example, this week, I had two transfers, and Alisson coming back for Kelleher meant that I had to make a goal. I had no goalkeeper, so I had to make a goalkeeper transfer. So I had to use those two transfers. I've got Eze in as well. And game week 38, hopefully I've got two free transfers, and then I can look to target Liverpool and Arsenal. Arsenal, just a reminder, play Everton at home, and Liverpool are Wolves at home. So I've got my Arsenal defender. I would look to perhaps get Saka and Jota, something like that, maybe Salah and something, maybe Alexander-Arnold. But two free transfers would go a long way, I think. And then, as usual, I'm going to finish up and have a cup of tea at the end of it all. So this is my team. I don't know, how do you want to do it? Do you want to go through it like I did with your one, like defence, midfield and attack, or just go through
maybe it just all? Just run through the team, because we probably don't... Yeah. A lot of the picks we've already discussed, yeah, haven't we? Yeah.
Okay, I'll run through, and then you can sort of ask me any questions and things around it. So I've got Petrovic in goal. He's got a double, 35. I've got Pedro Porro, if he's fit. I've got Dalot, home to Burnley. And I've got Cher from Newcastle at home to Sheffield United. I've got Son in midfield. I've got a 3-5-2 at the moment. I've got Son, who's got a double. Gordon is just absolutely a lock. He's at home to Sheffield United. He just scores at home for fun. Palmer, hopefully he's over his illness. He'd be my captain. Foden, hopefully he's over whatever he's over. And he's playing. And Bruno Fernandes, I think, is a great wildcard differential. People will say, hey, I've seen loads of wildcard drafts with them. That's great. But look at teams without a wildcard. They're not going to have Bruno Fernandes. So he's been doing really well recently, and long may that continue, even if his team is a bit rubbish. I've got Jackson up front, got a double. I've got Isak. On my bench this week, I've got Ederson ready for the double, and also ready for game week 36 when I will be playing him at home to Wolves. I've got Gabriel. I'm keeping him. He's away to Tottenham, but he's all ready for game week 36 when Arsenal play Bournemouth at home. And I've got Lewis Dunk, I could easily go for a cheaper defender at Brighton, but I'm going to go for Dunk because he occasionally gets an attack in return. He's exactly the kind of differential that could do well on a bench boost. And I don't mind playing him in a lot of the fixtures, but I'm happy for him to be on a bench boost there. So, yeah, that's the team. Obviously, a lot is dependent on injuries and what's happening there. So if Jackson gets a yellow, I might look to do some big rearranging and just get Watkins in. If Haaland would have to be quite badly injured for me to not have him there. I'll at least have the money there. Dunk is a sort of a cash cow at the moment if I need some money. Same with Cher. Both of those can be moved out. I can easily get 2 million, no problem, from getting those to Burn and Van de Ven or something like that. Yeah.
Well, I like it. Okay. I mean, there is actually quite a lot of overlap in our midfield and our forwards, because once I've made that Gallagher to Foden move, the only real difference is you've got Fernandes over my Madison, I think. So I think that would be the only change. So of course I like the midfield. I think the Fernandes pick is good. You've obviously got the double coming up. You've got Burnley as well. Mm. So I really like that. And the similarities with our defenders. Yeah, you've got Dalot. I've got Onana. I think Dunk, I suppose that's the one player I would be a little bit unsure of, because I don't think Brighton are playing that well at the moment.
No.
And I think in a double with Newcastle away at Chelsea at home, I'm not sure if I see a clean there.
No.
But I get that there's limited. Again, we're all kind of scrapped. You could probably say that about some of my defenders that you're not sure about. We're not blessed with loads of great options, are we?
Yeah.
And what about Ederson then, Joe? Are you kind of happy to kind of back him?
I'm not happy with any of the other defenders. So either what I could do is not have Ederson at all, not have Man City defence, and just leave that slot as open and sort of go for a punt on game week 37. I don't even see mind Rodri for game week 37. He just racks up points. Doku is another one. I don't mind getting in. Bernardo Silva. These are all sort of one-week punt type players. I don't mind getting in. So I'm not totally locked there, but I prefer Ederson. I wouldn't if because Man City are out of the Champions League, because they've only got the cup as well as the league. I think Ortega's the cup guy, as far as I know, so Ortega will get his game. What they tend to do is make sure they get a game. I don't know who the third choice goalkeeper is. Sometimes they reel those out in a. But if they're still fighting for the league, I can't see it being anyone else other than Ederson.
I don't know. I mean, do they give or it probably doesn't really matter for you if it's in 38 that Edison gets his run out, because Petrovic has Bournemouth at home. If providing Petrovic gets a game, which I think he probably will over Sanchez. And what is the third choice at City is Scott Carson or something. He's not going to play, is he?
No.
I know he did a few years back, but he's like, how old is he now?
50 now. My age.
So I can't see him playing. But Ortega might come in 38. But I like that. I did have a look at a draft with Edison, and I know he's got limited upside, hasn't he? If City keep a clean sheet, he'll probably get 6 points.
Yeah.
If they concede, which they have been doing a lot recently, then he won't, because he's not going to make many saves. No. But he is a route into that City defence. Would it surprise us if they kept a clean sheet against Wolves and Fulham in the double? No, not at all, really. So I kind of get why he's in there.
Yeah, so a lot of the... See, I'm happy to go into Game Week 35 with this. And Haaland's on the bench. Now, one person asked this question, and I think this is the key question that Tony asks, is who do you bench if Haaland is fit? If Haaland's fit, I'm going to play him, obviously. So who do I bench? Every single permutation I put in, I hate. So who do I bench? I'll just bench Gordon at home to Sheffield United. No. I'll bench Fernandes.
It's got to be Foden.
No. I'll bench Foden away to Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Which is crazy as well.
Yeah, because he's scored a hat-trick away from home, hasn't he, and against Villa recently. But
nothing makes sense.
I think he would. It would have to be him or Fernandes, I think.
Yeah.
I think you want Fernandes for that Burnley home game. I think you would have to bench Foden. But...
Yeah, it would either be Foden or Haaland. I'd probably bench... Okay, say they're both fit. I actually think I prefer Foden to Haaland. Okay. Just to get more points. A lot of people have benched his hat-trick. I haven't. I've either not owned him or owned him for them.
Yeah.
So I've got his points there. So I feel... Yeah, lots of people are saying to bench Foden, but that's happened before. People are looking at 20 points on their bench. And... Yeah. I it's difficult. If Haaland is fit, though, it is difficult. And, yeah, it'd probably be one of those two. I can't see it being anyone else.
No.
But, there is some suggestions. James in the chat says double defence Arsenal. So instead of Dunk, I would get, say, Saliba in. And then play them both in game week 36. I can play the Arsenal defence any time. And I'll be quite happy to play them in game week 37 away to Manchester United. But it's not sort of optimal, I think.
I don't know if you want a bench boost with two defenders at United. Yeah. And I know they're not great, United, are they? But it's just, is that really making the most out of your bench boost? Yeah. I'm not sure.
The key things for me is, will Porro be fit? If Porro isn't, I'm probably just going to have just Son. And I might go for... No, I mean, I don't want to remove anyone else in my midfield.
Yeah.
Brennan Johnson is the only other one I want.
Yeah, I guess I'm just doing that thing where I'm just getting them in for 1 week and then transitioning to Foden or Fernandes. Yeah. Whereas you're saying, well, the fixtures are that good this week. I'd prefer one fixture of these guys over the two of Johnson. Yeah. And I do get that as well. Yeah. It's not clear cut that a doubler is going to outscore these players. No. It just depends how you want to play it, really.
If Foden is injured, obviously, I'd think an easy one for me is Brennan Johnson in for Foden, just as a sort of placeholder there for whenever Foden's back. So Porro's not there. The other issues, if Jackson gets his yellow, I would look to save a bit of money on Dunk and Cher and plough that into upgrading Jackson to Watkins.
Yeah.
If Haaland's out for a week, I'm not bothered. But if he's out for longer, it all depends on others. But I think most are locked in. I think, I say most... I think most of the teams there we've looked at, you know, Chelsea, Spurs, Newcastle, Manchester United, Manchester City. And that's the focus of this. And I think Son, Gordon, Palmer and Fernandes and Isak are locks, definitely. and the rest I can remove around them. And I only don't mention Haaland in case he's injured. But yeah, it's a tough one, and the benching decision is tough, and there's a lot up in the air. If anyone in the live chat has got some questions, we've run out a couple. But if you've got any questions in the live chat, we've got about another 5-10 minutes or so. So we'll try and answer as many as we can. So if you're in the live chat now, do put your questions in, whether you're wildcarding or not. So there was a question earlier, right at the beginning, which was, I'm going to, because I said I sort of mentioned it. We go. Yeah, it was Jonathan. He said he's on a wild card 35, but not bench boosting. And so he's attempted to include some single game week players in the wild card due to this. He's actually looking at Brentford players like Mbomo. Brentford have Everton, Fulham, Bournemouth and Newcastle. So he's not worried about the bench boost. And in a way, I wish I wasn't. So he can have anyone he wants, and he can focus on doublers, but he can also have some good single game week players in. So which single game week players would you get in if you were not bench boosting but wildcarding?
Okay, well, let's just have a little run through it then. So I don't think I'd go for an Arsenal attacker. I was looking at Saka just then and things like that, but I don't think I would, just because it's hard to fit these midfielders in. I like Mbomo. I mean, I think he's kind of benefited from no Tony in the past few weeks as well. He seems to be the main man there, and we don't know what's going on with Tony. He's gone from being a sub to an unused sub to not being in the squad at all now. So I don't quite know what's happening there. What are the single game? I think Eze hard to fit in, but there's points there, I think, for some of them. Alexander-Arnold, you could look at Liverpool. I like Eight Norays in my draft, and I don't mind an Everton defender either.
Yeah.
There's a few there. And of course, you know, maybe not them. Yeah, those are probably the main teams I'd look at.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I do like Jonathan's chat with Brentford as well, because I think they'll be overlooked. Tony's... I don't know what's going on with Tony, whether he's actually injured or he's just going to be sold. So they're just not playing him. They're just preparing for life without him. Either way, players like Brian Mbomo, who's been doing well since he's been come back at multiple returns. I think are not bad shouts as well. I think are going to be good for that double game week even. You know, I think they could outscore. Brentford have got Bournemouth away, so they could even outscore some of those double game week options there. Steve has asked... He's just pointing something out. It says Jota out for 2 weeks. I don't know if that's anything you've heard, that Jota's injured or Jota...
Well, when we were talking, I just got a... he's out for 2 weeks, yeah.
Okay. Right, yeah.
I just got a message and I've just been sent a tweet from Paul Joyce, who's pretty reliable.
Okay.
So, that's a shame because Neil actually put him on his free hit this week and got his points at the weekend. And we were talking about him saying, you know, when he gets on the pitch, his points per appearance is great at points per start.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess that probably helps me a little bit, though, as a Diaz owner. It's not guaranteed, but he might be a bit more assured of getting minutes at the Wednesday.
I would imagine so. It certainly helps me as a Darwin owner. Well, not that I particularly want to see a bloke miss lots of shots. But FPL Bighead asks, what's your take on booking in transfers on this wildcard?
I'm doing it. So, look, I mean, it's not ideal. We would all sit there and say... we don't want to do that, but due to the nature of the fact that we're having to go heavy on Chelsea and Spurs, and Spurs with that Liverpool fixture in 30, at least Chelsea have got a good fixture in 36. Mm-hmm. Spurs haven't. So I don't know whether I want that triple up on that on Spurs. Well, I don't in 36, and that's why I'm booking in a transfer.
Yeah. If
problems could come up, but you've got to have a rough plan. And if you need to tweak it, then fair enough. But,
if Porro is out, as I said, with my team, I'll put another, instead of having my team up all the time, I'll put this up. If Porro is out, Johnson's the only other one I want. So I'd get Johnson in maybe instead of Fernandez, maybe, just as a placeholder, and get Brennan Johnson points. And then I would be booking myself in a transfer because I would remove him for Fernandez for ahead of that double at some point. So, yeah, as you said, it's all going to depend on, like, injuries and things like that.
I mean, we could finish the week with completely different drafts to these, couldn't we?
Yeah.
If Jackson gets the yellow, if Porro's out, and then everything else moving around. So, it's these drafts, I think, I'm happy for now, but a lot can change.
I think in terms of single game week players, the ones that I'm interested in, if I take money out elsewhere and there's injuries dictate it, is Alexander-Arnold and Watkins. They're the only ones I would consider putting in. So I've sort of earmarked them in case, but I'm hopeful that Haaland can stay in my squad. Tony's pointing out we need 50 space for 50 players. Yeah, there's quite a few. Not many strikers, though. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind, like, 50 midfielders. Pablo has posted his wild card up, so I'll read it out just because it's good to have other people's wild cards. He's gone for Petrovic and Verbruggen. So he's taking a risk on the Brighton goalkeeper for the double.
Can I just jump in there, Joe? Is that a risk for Bruggen? Because I know he's been starting games recently, but what's going on with Steele?
I think Verbruggen is firmly the number one. I think he was always brought in to be the number one. I think that's just become the number one. But that is not to say that Steele won't get the odd game. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't mean that Verbruggen's going to get any points. And that's why I think it's a risk. Because I think with Dunk, you've got the off chance of a goal. If a Stupinan was fit, you've got the off chance of an assist. With Verbruggen, you haven't really got much.
No, I don't like that. I'm not so keen on that. I did have a look at it. But
he's also got De Sassi. So he's got that Chelsea defensive thing, got De Sassi. Stones, Cher, Van de Ven, Gabriel. And then he's got Foden, Palmer, Gordon, Diaz he's gone for, and Son. So he's got a little bit of Liverpool. And Haaland and Solanke. I'm not sure who his other striker is there. Tanvir says, if I'm going to fit KDB, Foden and Haaland in this template, who should I sacrifice? So looking at my template, it would have to be Bruno Fernandes. If I was to get KDB in, I would get rid of Bruno Fernandes. I don't think with Haaland, I don't think you can have Haaland, Fernandez, and KDB, and have all the other players that you want, like Son.
Yeah, I'd do the same. And we're putting a lot, and you know, I think I'd be comfortable doing that. I mean, I think Fernandez is a good pick, but United are terrible at the moment. So we're really kind of punting on that. But he might get a penalty or something like that. And he has been returning recently. So I think he's a decent pick.
Yeah.
But if there was one player to drop out from that team, it would be him.
Yeah, I think he and Jackson are the differentials on non-wildcarders. And that's what you want at this stage as well. So I'm 42,000 in the world somewhere. And so what I'm looking to do, I know there's going to be people above me that are wildcarded. So I'm targeting them. I'm not necessarily targeting those who are like me wildcarding. We're going to have very similar teams, or rather similar.
That is maybe why I'm kind of subconsciously kind of not looking, you know, a lot of the wildcarders who like general, like so far, they went with Petrovic, they went with Gusto. Yeah. They've got probably two Chelsea picks at the back. That's why I'm trying to flip it and think, well, let's go for the goals instead and hope that they're going to concede. I hope they concede two or three each game, but I hope they score two or three as well. Yeah. And that's maybe what will make it a little bit different.
Yeah. They're not going to have that second Chelsea attacker. They're not going to have Brennan Johnson, for example. They're not going to have Fernandez at home to Burnley and for the double. You know, they will with transfers. They could, but they might not.
Yeah.
On the flip side, they're going to have Watkins, Salah, Saka, all those players.
Yeah, it's dangerous what we're doing because you're going away with tried and tested players.
Yeah. Felix asks, how do Gvardiol's minutes look on a wild card? He thinks he starts, maybe gets 120 minutes across both.
Yeah, I looked at that earlier. There is a bit of risk because you've got Ake back there now as well, haven't you? So that's why I went for Walker on mine. But there's maybe a bit of doubt. I mean, the other the guy who sent in the or the girl who sent in the wild card just then, yeah. I think they mentioned Stones.
Mm.
And even he feels a bit. He doesn't feel completely nailed on there. Yeah. So it's there might be that's the appeal of going with somebody like Edison, isn't it? Or Diaz, because they're completely nailed there.
J77 lag, is Ben Davis a good option? He's a better option now that a doggy's not, not out for season.
Just don't know if it'll be. Maybe need to speak to some Spurs fans, but I'm not even sure if they know. But is he, because he has played Emerson at left back at times this year as well. So I don't know. I think Davis is probably the better fit. But
Who are we highlighting for the captaincy in game week 37? Given that, you know, hopefully we're not going to make too many changes. So, Palmer's got Forest and Brighton away. Son's got Burnley and Man City at home. Haaland or Foden have got Fulham and Tottenham away. Fernandes got Arsenal and Newcastle at home. And of course, Isak and Gordon of Brighton at home and Manchester United away. It's a good question because every player I've just mentioned there is a candidate to be the captain.
Mm. I think Haaland would be the player that jumps out if they're still going for the league then.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea, Palmer could be good. The two away games, but good opposition, Forest and Brighton. So I quite like that. I'm not so keen on Son because I think you've got so much riding on that Burnley game that I'm not sure I'd go there for captaincy. Mm-hmm. Isak, that could be a worry. Wilson's back, we think, tomorrow, and he won't start tomorrow. And I don't think he'll be at an immediate risk to Isak's minutes. But in a double where they're playing two matches within a few days, could Wilson start one of those? Yeah. Maybe. And I don't think I trust United against that opposition.
No.
Because I think Arsenal will probably beat them and Newcastle could as well. So, yeah, probably going towards City.
Yeah, I think it'd be. Yeah, and as you said, it's say they've got the lead racked up by them, which they won't do. It's so close. And there'll be still three games left for them. So I suspect they won't be. It could be racked up by 38, but I suspect not by 37. But it could be. Yeah, that will play into it as well.
Well, they're not going to rotate for Spurs away if there's... We think it's still going to be on then, the title. So, I think if Haaland's fit and or if you want to go for a differential and you wanted to go for somebody like Foden, you could do that as well.
Yes. I think for me, I'd be tentatively, I would be looking at Haaland, captain, Palmer, vice captain.
Yeah.
The good fixtures for Palmer. But Gordon, Isak, I like both of them as well. Yeah, it's a good question. There's something for a couple of weeks. For Raimi, fairly easy answer to this question. He's got no wild card, only bench boost left. I would target double players. Just go for quantity or quality with quantity. So if you are lacking a Spurs attacker or a Chelsea attacker, get them. I would.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, just look at those doubles.
Tanvis says doubling on Manchester United or Spurs defence sounds crazy. Yep. It
is. Sorry, I missed that question. What was that one, Joe?
It's not necessarily directed at our teams, but just in general on a wild card. Doubling up on Manchester United, so getting Dalot and Onana, or Spurs defence getting Vicario and Porro seems crazy. And it doesn't just sound crazy. It is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see clean sheets for that. And that's why my defence looks like it does on the wild card. And I'm going for players like Ait Nouri who can offer that attacking upside. Because I don't even trust Chelsea's defence included as well as United's and Spurs and things like that.
Yeah. And the rest of the questions, so we're going to wrap it up now. The rest of the questions are around Haaland, really, whether he's going to start or not. We don't know. You know, have a listen out, team news. We'll know more. Before or after the Brighton game, because either Haaland will be playing or won't be, probably won't be if he's not in training at the moment. So that I would say we'll probably get, he's going to be asked about that and he will give an answer, whether we'll like the answer or not. But I think we'll hopefully get some better news around Haaland around that time. Okay, thanks so much for joining me, Tom. Good to see your wildcard team. And thanks so much for joining us in the live chat. It's been really good to chat through for me, my wildcard team as well. It's something where the teams I'm targeting aren't really a problem. It's just which players within those teams. But I'm all in on not having the likes of Salah and just going for it. And so I'm quite happy with that. Thanks everyone for joining us. We'll have goals imminent a bit later. That'll be out later this afternoon, early this evening. And loads more videos and podcasts coming during the week from wildcarders and non-wildcarders alike. So something for everyone. Thanks a lot for your time. Remember to press that like button. Remember to subscribe. See you soon.
Thanks, Joe.